Thank you everyone for being patient and waiting for some other attendees to join in today. We will go ahead and get started now. If you're listening to this session live, you're interested in the Fulbright Outreach Lecturing Fund. I see on the call we have some past Fulbright OLF hosts, and we're happy to have you back, as well as some new attendees, which we're really excited about getting you plugged into the program. My name is Sarah Causer. I'm an outreach and recruitment specialist here at IIE, and I have the privilege of overseeing this wonderful program and working with wonderful institutional administrators such as yourself. And today I'm actually joined, sorry the PowerPoint didn't update, by my colleague Tamman Nicholson. Sorry about that, Tamman. Would you like to introduce yourself?
No worries, Sarah. Yeah, my name is Tamman Nicholson. I'm the Global Programs Portfolio Officer for a variety of Fulbright multi-regional programs.
Wonderful. Unfortunately, David Loving could not be with us today, but he is here with us in spirit, and if you have any questions that you'd like to direct to David, please share them with us, and we'll make sure to pass them along. So with that being said, before we really dive into the meat of this presentation, I wanted to kind of announce a few things. The session is being recorded, so if you want to come back and listen to it again, we'll make sure and send that out to all the registrants, as well as there is a chat box feature. So at any time throughout the presentation, if you have any questions, please feel free to submit your questions there. And there'll be a section at the end where Tim and I will be fielding those questions. So without further ado, we'll dive right in. So the Fulbright Scholar Program, the Fulbright Program in general, was established in 1946, and its goals were primarily to serve as a public diplomacy initiative, and it is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs. Since its inception, IIE has had the privilege of administering this program alongside the U.S. Department of State. So the goal, as we said, being a public diplomacy program, was really to expand and strengthen the relationships between people of the United States and the rest of the world, which, in my personal opinion, the Outreach Lecturing Fund really is at the heart of this kind of goals and priorities within the program. As you can see on the screen, we like to show kind of the depth and history of the program. So on the left-hand side, you'll see one of our first scholars who went to Burma as that country did open up into the program. And then on the right, you can see a more recent scholar who is part of the Fulbright Arctic Initiative. So the program is always growing and expanding and looking for new opportunities for scholars and students to go overseas and, again, come into the United States. With that said, I'm going to quickly pass the mic over to Tamman so he can go over the OLF program objectives as well as the benefits that you might experience as a host institution and that the scholars will also experience.
Thank you, Sarah. So as Sarah mentioned, the OLF is a supplemental award for visiting scholars. The objective of the program is to help colleges and universities to expand internationalization efforts on campus by inviting the Fulbright scholars who might be doing research or teaching on other campuses across the U.S. At any time, there's about 800 to 900 Fulbright scholars in the United States, so this gives those scholars the opportunity to maybe travel to parts of the United States or different institutional types where they're not familiar with, and they can engage with faculty, students, staff on campuses to talk more about the Fulbright program and their interaction with the program and the different types of Fulbright opportunities that might be available to staff and students at those type of institutions. So it enables the institutions to get kind of their feet wet with the Fulbright program, but then it allows scholars to have a broader range of the different institutional types that are available in the United States. So if you want to go to the next slide. Okay, so the benefits to OLF host institutions. As I mentioned, this provides international engagement opportunities for students, faculty, and staff, and it fosters different academic partnerships between the scholars in the OLF program and their host institutions. It allows for collaboration post Fulbright grants, and it offers increased awareness and participation of all of the aspects of the Fulbright program. Also, for a lot of institutions that participate in OLF, this increases their access and their contribution and their relationships with scholars from different institutional types worldwide. And then, as I mentioned, for the Fulbright visiting scholars, this is a really unique opportunity for scholars to see different parts of the United States. If they are doing research in the Northeast, they might get a chance to visit a community college in the Southeast or a tribal college out West, just to see the variety of institutional types. As Sarah mentioned, the goal of the Fulbright program is to increase mutual understanding between people of the United States and visitors, and this is a great opportunity for scholars to really expand their network and their opportunities while they're here in the United States.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tammin. Trucking right along that same vein, most of the questions that we get for this program is how does our institution get involved and how do we apply to host these scholars? As Tammin mentioned, there's always between about 800 to 900 scholars in the United States. At any given time, these scholars are coming from a wide variety of countries, as well as they have a wide variety of backgrounds and disciplines that they are representing, either through conducting research here in the United States or they are teaching on campuses, most likely through the Scholar in Residence program. So, in terms of the application process, this program is entirely institutionally driven. What that means is that institutions actually apply on behalf of the scholar to bring them to your campus to help internationalize your campus. Now, that's not to say that you might not get an email from a very eager visiting scholar looking to come to your campus. We always encourage them to kind of hit the ground running and make those connections. But we want to make sure it is the institution who is submitting those application materials and that they are fully invested in making these lectures kind of go off without a hitch and make sure that their the hospitality component is there. So kind of along that vein, many times we will have institutions that will apply partnering with other institutions, and we do encourage these institutions to do these partnerships. So oftentimes we might have a large Research One institution partnering with a community college as well as a K-12 at an elementary school or high school. And so that scholar would actually visit all three of those locations. It might be the same lecture that they're conducting, or they might do kind of a variety of lectures. So while they might be talking more about their research at the large Research One and potentially the community college, they may wish to talk about more cultural lectures and topics that might be more fascinating to perhaps those elementary schools or high schools. As Tammin was saying, part of the goal of the Outreach Lecturing Fund is to engage with institutions that are underrepresented within Fulbright. Now, we're not here to exclude any institution. Like I said, that's where that partnership comes in. But we're really seeking institutions that are considered priority. And we have a priority institution list on our website, and I'll show you that momentarily. These priority institutions can be anywhere across the board that you see listed. Minority-serving institutions, community colleges, small liberal arts colleges, any geographically underrepresented institutions, including rural institutions, as well as women's and arts institutions. Through this program, it's such a great opportunity that we really get to engage with these institutions, and I've been very excited to kind of see the last 5 years and the development that we've had kind of across the board. Last year, we rounded out the year with over 350 engagements conducted, and we'd love to kind of see that continue to grow through this program. And we're always very excited to see new and unique partnerships kind of popping up through these programs. So one thing that we always have to highlight with the OLF is this is really for the scholars to be on your campus. This, unfortunately, cannot be used to help scholars attend conferences or meetings. If that is kind of the primary purpose of why you're interested in OLF, we would ask that you also kind of add that institutional lecture on top of it. So they would be funded for the institutional lecture, not for the conference. In terms of eligibility requirements, as we said, we're really looking for those institutions that are priority institutions or that you have also incorporated them into the application. But we're also looking for the following. Within the host institution, you must be an accredited U.S. college or university, and you have to be at least 75 miles away from a scholar's U.S. host institution. So what we're not looking for, in theory, would be if you're trying to host someone I'm in Houston, by the way, so if you're trying to host someone at College Station from the Houston area, we're really looking for you to kind of reach out of the box. Maybe they are coming from another part of Texas, but maybe you're looking for a scholar that's currently located in New York or California or something like that. So we do ask that you are at least 75 miles away so we can provide that travel award to the scholar to come to your institution. Additionally, we do ask that host institutions consider covering lodging, local transportation, meals, and incidentals. OLAF does cover the travel portion. However, if your institution does not have the funding to provide those items, you may request supplemental funding, and it is available on a case-by-case basis. So it's not an automatic guarantee, but we'll do our best to meet those needs of the institution. In terms of eligibility for the Fulbright Visiting Scholars, they must be a current Fulbright Visiting Scholar in the U.S. They must be on a grant longer than 3 months, and they cannot be in the last month of their grant because, unfortunately, we need to be able to pay them, and we cannot pay them after the grant ends. So we kind of reserve that last month for us to kind of go through all those administrative hoops and processes to ensure that the scholar does get paid for this visit. Lastly, the visiting scholar must be in possession of a U.S. Social Security number and a U.S. bank account. We have moved to where we do pay the scholars through Zelle, through an application called IIE Pay, so it is a bit easier. They no longer have to submit their bank details to us directly. They register it online. So that's kind of a new change that has occurred in the last year that we're really excited about. So as I mentioned earlier, the OLAF is really a cost-sharing program. So Fulbright, I will always provide the airfare and transportation for the scholar to get to and from the airport. And then we ask the institution, as part of their cost share, to do those local transportations, lodgings, and meals. The program is very hospitality-driven, so it's really whatever you can provide. Again, if you cannot provide those things, please email us. We'll ask that you put that request for supplemental funding in the official invitation letter, and we will do our very best to make sure that we can provide that. But again, it is on a case-by-case basis. So one thing that we really like to do for this program is make this as easy as possible. So we say hosting as easy as 1, 2, 3 with the Fulbright Outreach Lecturing Fund. So the first thing that is required by you as a host institution is to identify the scholar that you would like to invite. This can be done either through connections and you've met someone at an international conference or through looking through the Fulbright Visiting Scholar list on the Fulbright directory. And as we transition to the website, I will show you where to find that directory. You can filter the directory by country of interest, by discipline of interest. You can also input key terms that you're looking for, such as Brexit or Zika, something like that, if you're really looking for a very nuanced research focus. After you have identified the scholar, the next step that you're looking into is getting in contact with that scholar to make sure that the dates that you have in mind actually align with their current plans at their campus and they have time to come to your institution. So there's a few ways for you to get in contact with them. In the scholar directory, the faculty associate for those scholars are listed, so you can do a quick Google search to try and find either the faculty associate's email to reach out to. Perhaps you can find scholar's email through LinkedIn or another source. Or if you cannot do that, you're more than welcome to email us at olaf@iie.org. Give us the name of the scholar and kind of a short paragraph blurb of what you'd like us to share with them. Really just introducing yourself, kind of the goals of the time frame of what you're seeking and what you hope the scholar will be bringing to your campus, perhaps like a sample lecture title, something like that. I'll then turn that around, send it to the scholar with your contact details and ask them to reach out to you. We can unfortunately not provide their emails directly to institutions just due to privacy concerns, but that tends to be a very quick turnaround on our end, and we do our best to try to make those connections.
Could you repeat that email address again one more time for everyone on the webinar?
Oh, sure. It's olf@iie.org, so the three letters for Outreach Lecturing Fund. And it will be on the very last slide. Thanks, Shannon. So the third step in applying for the OLF fund is after you've reached out, kind of confirmed logistics with these scholars, is you fill out a very short PDF fillable application form. In that application form, you're essentially just saying where the scholars' information, where they're coming from, the airport, and the travel date. Then you'll also fill out your institutional information, the date of the lecture, the title of the lecture, and you'll also do this for any other institutions that they're visiting as well. A little kind of asterisk that what's to come is in the next year, we are hoping to move to an online application system. We will have plenty of training moving forward, but for now, we are still using this online PDF form for you to download, fill out, and just submit via email. But you will just kind of keep an eye on your inbox for when we do go into online application form. We'll be sending, again, many emails about it, many training tutorials, but we're really excited to move that way. We've gotten a lot of feedback from you guys, and we just want to make sure that we're kind of making this program and applying for this program as easy as possible for you. So as I said, I will go into the online directory live to show you an example of how to filter it, but here's a quick snapshot of what you would expect on the scholar directory. We always tell you, filter, select the box that says non-US, parentheses, visiting scholars, so you're getting that list of 800, and then we also say and suggest to put in a current academic year so you're not pulling out past participants. There is additional advanced filters, so as you can see on the screen, there's the project, that's where you could type in the special research topics if you're trying to look for a very specific scholar, as well as searching by discipline and world region. And so, let's see, let me get out of this real quick. Okay. So if you are interested in getting to that scholar directory, you'll go to cies.org. For the scholar directory, it's right here under this circling carousel of photos. It's called the View the Fulbright Scholar Directory. In here, as I said, you'll want to select the non-US scholars, and then you'll also want to put in the current year. And so when you hit search, you'll kind of see the first page. There's many, many pages, so we always say filter as much as possible. So for this, we will do United Kingdom. Let's see what we yield from that. And as you can see, there's two pages worth of scholars from the United Kingdom. I'm going to click on Dr. Smith here. So Dr. Richard John Smith is from the United Kingdom. His discipline is criminal justice, and you can see where he is currently hosted in the United States. So he's currently at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. It says who the faculty associate is, so if you know them or if you do a quick search, you can find their contact details to see if Dr. Smith would be interested in coming to your campus. Additionally, if you want to you see that he's criminal justice, but you're like, but what is he currently doing here in the U.S.? That's where his project title comes in. So as you can see on the screen, his project title is Delivering Effective Policing, Delivering Effective Change, a Critical Evaluation of Business Change in New York and London, People and Process Perspective. Sorry, it's a very small screen where I am. So it's a very long project title. So if this is something that really intrigues your institution and would align with your kind of goals, perhaps in the classroom, perhaps the overall campus community, you could reach out to him. He is on his grant, as you can see here, until April of 2019. So what that would mean with that 1 month kind of barring is he could lecture through part of March. If you need the exact date of when their program ends, just reach out to me and I can look that up on our tracking sheets to kind of come up with that information. But what you would do if you were interested is I reach out to their faculty associate or reach out to me directly, just giving me his name, and I would facilitate that connection on your behalf. So the next part that we like to go into is how to get into the application form. So under programs at the top, you would go down to U.S. institutions, and you could select the Outreach Lecturing Fund. On this page, this gives you kind of everything you need to know. So if you want to see if your institution is considered a priority institution, you can download that list here on the homepage. It's linked on almost every page, and from there, we've gone over the eligibility, but it's here in more detail. But what you really are looking for is this application tab. So we're currently in the 18-19 application cycle, so that's for any events occurring between October 1st of 2018 all the way through September 30th of this year. As we said, the next cycle we're hoping to go online, but all that information will populate here hopefully over the summer. So if you expand that 2018-19 section, there's a document we put in there for tips for successful OLS that you're welcome to download and read through, as well as the application form and the flyer template. So the application form is a required piece. The flyer template is to help you promote the lecture on your campus. So as we open this application form, there's just a bit of instructions on the first page as well as some checklists, but really it's page 2 and 3 that we're most interested in. So as I said, there's a section on the first page about the scholar's information. That's where you'll put in their name, where they're from, their grant end date, which they'll provide to you, or you can ask them for, as well as their contact details. This closest airport is the closest airport to where the scholar currently is. The second information that you'll be filling out is the funding information. So if your institution can provide housing, please check yes. If you check no and you are requesting supplemental funding, please note you do still need to put that request in writing in your invitation letter on your school's letterhead that you draft up. Just by hitting no here doesn't automatically submit that request. We do have to have that request in writing. And then there is a section that some institutions do provide honorariums to our scholars. We need to know that information ahead of time because we have to get that approved, especially if it's over a certain amount. We have to kind of go and get a few extra approvals for that. This by no means is required. Some institutions love providing this to the scholars, but this, again, not required at all for institutions. We just need to know that for our tracking purposes. Then the second page that you'll be filling out is information that pertains to your institution or the other institutions you're partnering with. So for each lecture that they're doing that's different on your campus, so say you have them doing 3 different lectures on your campus, you'll fill out all 3 of these. Now if they're conducting the same lecture just in multiple classrooms, you only have to submit 1 because it's the same lecture. So again, if you are partnering, say UT Austin's partnering with St. Edward's, and they're doing the same lecture, St. Edward's will fill out 1 section and UT Austin will fill out the other section. So that's just kind of to kind of keep you on track. And we don't deny any of these applications outwardly. We'll ask you to revise them if there's anything that is missing or questionable. We'll just kind of ask for clarification. Oftentimes we may get an institution that is not eligible on their own. We'll come back and say, can you consider partnering with a K-12 or another institution? So we don't like saying no. It's not really ideal for us. We want to make these visits happen for everyone. All right. So going back in to presentation, 1 second. So moving on, we've already shown you the website. In order to apply, I've already shown you where to download this application form. So really what you have to submit to us is that application form. If you choose to fill out that invitation flyer, feel free to send that to us as well. But we also ask that you produce a letter of invitation on your institution's letterhead. Really what that invitation letter says is exactly what you're putting in the application form. I'll go into that a little bit more on the next slide, but we're really just looking for information for our tracking purposes. Additionally, in terms of applying, we want to ask that you make that the lectures, we often get questions of how long they are. They're usually between 2 to 6 days. We've seen longer, we've seen shorter. There's really no right or wrong answer there, but we do ask that they don't take place in the last month of the scholar's grant period. You will email the application to us directly at that email. So you were asking for it earlier. It is on the screen here, olf@iie.org. And we ask that you try and submit that at least 30 days in advance of the lecture. That gives us enough time to review it, to approve it, to come back if there's any questions about eligibility. It just helps us on our end. And we want to make sure that you have enough time after the approval to really promote the event on your campus to get as many attendees as possible. So once you receive the approval email from us, it will go to your every host contact as well as the supplying, as well as the scholar. It will say the amount that they are approved for with this award. That scholar can then, at that point, purchase their ticket and start to arrange the transportation. They may ask you questions about the best kind of time and date for them to fly in. So you guys will work on that together. But at that point, they're approved to start purchasing their travel. One thing that we always note is we ask that you give us at least 1 week for us to respond to your applications. We do have some busy times, and we're currently entering one right now, but we do try and respond as soon as possible. We know there's some urgency sometimes, but we just ask that you give us at least 1 week to respond. Hopefully it's sooner. And the other thing we ask is not to submit multiple applications that are the same. So if you haven't heard from us, we ask that you don't keep submitting it because it ends up slowing down our processing time. So we're happy to field any questions. If it's urgent, just let us know. We'll do our best to process them as fast as we can. As I said, I was going to go into what the invitation letter should say. This is really your chance on letterhead to kind of say the purpose of the visit, what kind of activities the scholars will be doing. We've had some people kind of take them out for cultural activities, such as games, maybe host them at a faculty member's house for a barbecue. We've kind of seen the whole gambit. But in this invitation letters, you're basically disclosing who all you're partnering with, where all the scholar will be presenting. Say they're presenting at the library in addition to your institution. We just ask that you mention that here. If you're able to provide housing, please mention it. If you're requesting supplemental funding, please make that request in this invitation letter. As I pointed out on the application form, some institutions will choose to provide an honorarium. If you are providing one, please just list that you're providing an honorarium and the amount, because we'll take that to get that approval. So that is required to list in the invitation letter if you're providing it. But please remember, the honorariums are not required. I'd say about 10% of institutions provide them. So it's not the most common thing that we see. And lastly, as I said, please mention who you're partnering with. So if you're partnering with priority institutions, K-12 schools, libraries, cultural organizations nearby, just list them in your invitation letter as well. Again, there's really no right or wrong letter. It's really what you choose to write. So after the OLF visit is over, we do have a few requirements from both the institutions and the scholars. So the institutions, we ask that you fill out an online evaluation form, one for each institution or campus visited. So if you've partnered with 4 different institutions in the area, which we have seen before, each one of those institutions needs to submit their own evaluation. And then we always encourage institutions to publicize these events either with articles in the campus newspaper or blog posts. We encourage you to take photos of the event. We encourage you to send them to us because we love to share those blogs, retweet those social media posts, things like that. So if you do happen to get great photos of the events, please feel free to share them with us so we can promote these programs even further. From the scholars, we ask them to register for that IIE Pay online, and so they'll work with their actual advisor at IIE to get that registration off the ground. And then they're also required to submit their Social Security number through the scholar portal. If they ask you a question about that, please do not have them email it because of privacy concerns, but that is for them to submit through the online portal. We also have scholars that will kind of take photos and write blog posts as well, and we always encourage them to submit that also. So one question that we usually get every year are types of past lectures that have conducted on campuses. And so we kind of broke them out into the two different types that we see, being culturally focused lectures as well as research focused lectures. So they kind of run the whole gambit. We've seen a lot of Brexit talks in the past. We've seen a lot of refugee talks in the past. They tend to be very current, and I always get very excited when I'm approving these applications because there's so many that I wish I could actually go and listen to. So we're really excited to kind of see the creativity that these scholars bring to campuses, and honestly, this isn't even a drop in the bucket, but we're very happy and excited to see kind of the lectures and the talks that are going on around higher education institutions. So with that, we have reached the end of the presentation piece of this webinar, so we will kind of transition into that Q&A time. I know some people have been submitting questions throughout. Please feel free to submit any questions. We'd be happy to answer as many as possible. Again, our email is on the screen. Tamin and myself are both in that inbox, as well as we have another colleague that I'm very excited about, Sean and Thomas, who is also in there. So you'll hear from one of the three of us, and we're really excited to get your applications. So with that, Tamin, do we have any questions?
We have a few questions, but I think you've done an excellent job because a lot of these questions you've answered in the course of your presentation. One question, though, is there a maximum number of scholars that an institution can request in one academic year?
That's a great question. So typically, we kind of run the two-a-semester rule that an institution can apply for two different scholars in the fall, two different scholars in the spring, two different scholars in the summer. However, like everything on the Fulbright side of the program, it depends. So if your institution is, you know, making that very, like, conceded effort to partner with K-12 schools or a local community college, something like that, you can kind of double that as you go. So say you're partnering with a local community college and you apply for two and share those two with the community college, and the community college partners with two, applies for two partnering with you, you can tend to get more scholars than that in a semester. So we've seen a lot of very creative institutions getting around kind of those limits. So we're in the business of saying yes if we can.
Thanks, Sarah. And also just in that same vein, there's no prohibition against applying back-to-back years. There's no specific waiting period. If you've hosted an OLF, that you have to wait a certain amount of time to host your next scholar. Another question about maximums. If, say, a scholar has already participated in an OLF program at a different campus, can an institution still request that scholar, or are they off the table for the rest of their term?
That's a great question. They are not off the table. If the scholar can attend multiple OLFs and entertain multiple requests and it's not to the detriment of their research or their host institution in the U.S. and they're supportive, they're more than welcome to attend many. We will have some scholars do 4 to 5 because they're here for about 10 months that they're able to entertain multiple OLF requests, and it's not unheard of. Because this program is institutionally driven, we don't want to say no just because a scholar has already received one OLF, because you're a different institution, and we want to make sure that these requests can go through.
Thank you. And one more logistics question. So if an institution is currently hosting a scholar, maybe it's a scholar in residence, or they're currently hosting a Fulbright student, but they are on the priority list, are they eligible to host a scholar from a different region or with experience in a different background?
Absolutely, and I would definitely highlight, you know, making sure that they get to meet that FIR scholar or the other scholar that you have, that they perhaps go out to lunch or dinner and just be able to speak with each other about their Fulbright opportunities and the differences or similarities. The other thing I would suggest is if you are currently hosting a visiting scholar, be it a core scholar or an SIR, is encourage that scholar to get out and also participate in OLF. Maybe connect them with one of your colleagues at another institution and see if they can invite them. It's always very nice for institutions to encourage their own scholars.
And we also, I think we have a few scholars who are actually on the webinar. And the questions come up whether or not scholars are able to initiate that conversation if they can reach out to any of the priority institutions that are listed on the CIES website.
Absolutely. Just keep in mind that the application form must come from the institution, but there's nothing stopping you from reaching out to those institutions or to our Fulbright scholar liaisons at those institutions that are serving in that role of facilitating those connections. There's nothing stopping you from reaching out to them and seeing if their institution would be interested in applying on your behalf.
Excellent. I think with that, we've come to the end of our questions, unless there's any that'll come through in the last final seconds. But I think, Sarah, you've done an excellent job summarizing the OLF program, and I think we'll see a lot of applicants over the next week or so.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Tamin, for being here today and fielding questions. And thank you, everyone, both institutions that we've worked with in the past and new ones. We're really excited to work with you in the future. We're happy to set up one-on-one sessions if you have any kind of burning specific questions about your institution. But please take a look at the application, take a look at the scholar directory, and kind of send us those requests.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Well, thank you. Have a good rest of the week, everyone. Bye.